Let's go for a prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity on this evening to celebrate, rejoice in, and awe and wonder the gift of your Son, our salvation, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the demonstration of your great love for us and sending him to us, sending him to sinners, those who were at odds with you, who were against you, who in many cases wanted to live their own lives, do their own thing without you, and yet, Lord, you loved us so much, and we did not recognize that love until you opened our eyes to it. And we thank you, Lord, as we consider the one that was born, your son and his death on the cross to save sinners, bring him into your family, remove that which separated us from God, gave us your righteousness, forgave us of our sins. We thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, hasn't received the gift of salvation, we pray for that this evening. Pray through the words that are read, the message that's shared, the songs that are sung, and the spirit that is present in this place this evening, Lord, that you would use all of those things, draw them to yourself, that they would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, because that is what Christmas is all about. And so thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for this gathering. We just rejoice in you. Rejoice, Lord, for the privilege of coming together. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, just to say thank you. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for saving us from our sins. Thank you for the hope that we have. The hope, the eternal hope that we have in you. So bless the service. Bless each one here. We're here for a reason, and that is to know you more. And we thank you again in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Well, I hope you grabbed a candle on the way in or in the foyer. If you have not had an opportunity to do that, we'll be making use of these toward the end of the service. At this time, I asked Josh and Kate to come on up, and they're going to read a scripture for us. You know that that couple there, this is their first Christmas. So you have to get one of those little ornaments you hang on the tree, first Christmas. You'll probably get like seven of those. You'll have to hang them all up. All right. At this time, we're going to have Macy Sheets come on up, and she's going to share a song with us.
Thank you.
standing. Put our hands together again. Worship team, come on back up. Let's stand and we'll sing a few more songs together.
To the world. Mother's Day, to honor our King and our Savior, our friend, our guide, life guide. So I'm reading now Luke 2, 13 through 18. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavens of hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us."
And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made wildly found Mary and Joseph. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made wildly known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds.
All right, at this time, Liberty is going to share a song with us. So excited about that.
Thank you.
Luke chapter 2, verse 18 to 18. Let me just read a few verses. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. There will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." Just say a prayer regarding the word. Father, again, thank you. Just a blessing to sing praises to you, to be reminded of your love for us. God, as we consider this passage of Scripture, help us in some way to kind of transport ourselves and our minds to that moment, that day when the shepherds heard that amazing news, that message was given to them, and they were amazed that they could be a part of the story of God becoming man. So thank you, Lord. Speak to our hearts, and may your word have its way in us by your Holy Spirit. And we just invite you here, O Lord, be glorified, and find an eager, receptive people, open hearts to receive your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. And one of the things I was thinking about, that we, the past few weeks we've been going through the gospel narrative in Luke chapters 1 and 2 and on Sundays. And one of the thoughts that I had was, you know, why the shepherds, why were they the first ones to receive the good news? And so I thought about that. I want to share some thoughts on that this evening with you. Maybe it'll help us as we even look at our little manger scenes set up in our houses. As we look at the shepherds, they're kind of out there on the sides. But the focus is, you know, obviously everybody's important. And then that little nativity scene, shepherds have a real important place there. Maybe we'll think about them even a little more deeply. I think it's fitting, actually, that the people who are informed first about the fact that Christ has been born, the birth of the Savior, are to lowly shepherds. It's probable that shepherds tended to be the last people to hear any news at all. And I'm sure that shepherds out in the fields for days and weeks at a time missed out on many noteworthy events that happened in their town and in their community. And so they probably were used to getting the news second and third and even fourth hand, and certainly not being included in something so significant. Certainly not being the first to receive it. And shepherds probably would not generally imagine being invited to a special meeting with a king. And so I think it's fitting in that way. You know, it's interesting where this is taking place. You see, it was in these same fields that another shepherd, many years ago, tended his own father's sheep. He was the youngest of seven sons. He spent many nights alone watching over the flocks, keeping watch over them, leading them to green pastures and to still waters, searching for them when they went astray, defending them from predators, carrying them on his shoulders when they were hurt, laying his life on a stone, a staff, and sometimes with his own strong, scarred hands. And one day, this shepherd was called out from the fields of Bethlehem to go home because a special visitor had arrived. Samuel the prophet stood with his father, Jesse, and his brothers. And if you could imagine, they're around what would be a sacrifice being made. And so there would be a fire there. And as David appeared, they would have eyed him approaching the gathering. And he would be wondering what's so important that even he was expected to be present. Apparently, Samuel was there to anoint the next king of Israel. Samuel had assumed that it would be Jesse's oldest son. And he prepared to apply the anointing oil. But the Lord had not chosen Jesse's eldest son. In fact, he didn't choose his second son or the third or down the list. In fact, that's what had happened, that Samuel said, well, is there another son? Is there another? They keep bringing him up. Well, if it's not the first, maybe it's the second, maybe it's the third. And so by the time they got to the end of the boys that were in the room, is there anybody else here? Well, that's when, we've got another who's out there, out in the fields. You don't mean him. Well, bring him, Samuel said. You see, the Lord had chosen the youngest son, maybe the most unlikely son. Maybe in some instances the forgotten son, because they didn't even consider him as an option. The Lord chose a man after his own heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16, it says, just reading this narrative, so it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. The Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him in, and now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And so as we think about the shepherds in the fields, we want to remember that there was another significant shepherd that had been in the same fields watching over his father's flocks. I think there's a link there between David the shepherd and these shepherds who received the message, the good news first. So it was in Bethlehem that David, the young shepherd boy, was anointed king. And it was in Bethlehem, in a cave, used to give shelter to sheep, that the Son of David was born to be our shepherd king. This king came to be a shepherd who would defend and protect and guard and keep watch over his sheep and even lay his life down for his sheep. He is the shepherd who came to seek and save what was lost. Scriptures, both Old and New Testament, speak to this. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11 says of the Christ, it says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Ezekiel 34, verse 23 says, I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And then Jesus says, John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. Jesus essentially saying here, I'm the shepherd that Isaiah told you about. I'm that shepherd. The city, and he saw the multitudes. And it says that he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. And so as he entered into these towns and these places, as they were like sheep, and he had the eyes of a shepherd who longed for his sheep to be delivered, he came to be a shepherd. Jesus shares in Luke 15, he says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds him? Who can say, I was that one? Who can say, I was that one? That was me. That was me. He was willing to leave the 99 to go find the one. And he, because of a shepherd heart, shepherd eyes, that the Lord looking for his sheep to go and find you. And so the first visitors to welcome the newborn shepherd king in a manger were shepherds. While the shepherding occupation in some instances was considered lowly and poor station, I believe that the occupation of a shepherd is near to the heart of God. God at heart is a shepherd. He loves his sheep. So much so that he sent his son to be a shepherd, to give his life for his sheep. Matthew chapter 2, verse 6, which is again in fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy in Malachi chapter 5, verse 2. It says, "But you, Bethlehem, and the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." He is the shepherd king. And so when the shepherds received the news from the angels, they wasted no time in heading directly to the place where the child was born. Luke chapter 2, verse 16 and 18. "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." The shepherds were not only the first ones to receive the good news that the shepherd king had been born, they were also the first missionaries, witnesses, ambassadors to go and share the good news that the Christ had been born. I think it is no wonder that before anyone else, God wanted the lowly shepherds of Bethlehem to hear the good news first. Because maybe more than anyone else, the shepherds would be the best messengers to share the news that the child, the son of David, the shepherd king, Christ the Lord, has been born. Maybe it was because shepherds, more than anyone else, revealed the nature of God, that he is a shepherd at heart. And maybe shepherds, more than anyone, would grasp the deeper meaning and the deeper spiritual significance of Christ being born in this sheep shelter and laid in this manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. You see, when they looked at this child in essentially which was their manger or their manger for their sheep, they might have seen something else that no one else necessarily would have seen because they aren't shepherds. But I think the shepherds might have seen something. You see, it was in this place that the pregnant ewes were brought to deliver their lambs. Many of the lambs that were brought to this cave, there's a name for it, at least one possible location for this is called Tower of the Flocks. So there's a specific location where sheep, or where the lambs were brought, or the sheep were brought, the ewes were brought in order to deliver their lambs. And many of the lambs that were delivered in this place were the sacrificial lambs, were the lambs that were set aside in order to be sacrificed for the sin of the people. In fact, in order to take away the sin of the world. Isn't that amazing? I appreciate a sister in Christ who shared that bit with me that I had in all of my studies. I hadn't caught that. I thought that was, again, there's nothing that doesn't have meaning and importance in the birth and the giving of the gift of the Son of God. You see, so this sign, see, that's what the angels told them, didn't they? They said, "This will be the sign to you." And so they were anticipating, looking for a sign. And the sign was the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in that manger. because their shepherd is also a lamb. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And for him to be a Savior, he had to be a lamb. For him to be the Savior of the world, he had to give his life for the sin of the world, and for you, and for me. The Son of God, Son of David, the Shepherd King lying in the manger, is also the Lamb of God. Takes away the sin of the world. That's why we're here. And that's why we praise him. And that's why we carry him in our hearts. And that's why we can't get enough of him. Because he is everything to us. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for sending your son to be our shepherd. Oh, we need a shepherd. We are sheep that go astray. And many of us in this room can testify, yes, I have gone astray. And yes, you came after me. You found me in the mess and the muck of my life. And you saved me. And you brought me to your flock. And thank you, God, for doing that. Thank you for sending a shepherd to find us. But thank you that that shepherd is also a lamb. And Jesus came to give his life to find the lost and to save us from our sin. And so, God, we want to thank you again. We just praise you for this gift, for the message of salvation. Lord, help us to be eager like the shepherds were to tell and share the good news that the Christ has come to save us from our sin. And maybe there's someone here today that needed to hear these words in this way, that they would see that they are lost sheep in need of a shepherd, that they needed a lamb as a sacrifice for their sin, and that today would be the day they receive the good news that the Christ has come. So thank you, God. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. And we're going to sing our closing song with Randy and Diana. Or at least Randy. And we'll get the candle lights.
Thank you.